What business do we have making a podcast?
We're just two girls with too many opinions and no decorum.
It's rock and roll, baby. Welcome back after our hiatus that we didn't tell anyone about.
Even though we've been doing weekly recordings, just not posting.
Yeah, it's just never let people know your next move.
Yeah.
People are like looking at Spotify. Do they drop? Not yet, but here we are.
New format.
Who dis? No, keeping old format, but adding a very exciting segment.
And we'll see if you guys like it.
Yeah.
We did.
We don't care if you like it. We just want to do it. Platform to be able to share unsolicited advice.
For all the people that don't follow our Instagram or keep up with our lively social medias, we did open an advice column. So we would like more people to participate moving forwards. We got a lot of good stuff this week, but we would like a little bit more.
I feel like we work in HR and we're doing like, you know how they're always asking for employee satisfaction surveys? Mm-hmm. They always have to give an incentive. Like only 60% of the team has done this. Like we'll get something at the end of it if we get 100. That's how I feel right now.
I don't know if I've talked about this. Speaking of PR.
PR or HR?
I guess it's more HR related, but sorry, there's so much PR stuff to talk about later, but going back to HR, did you see that person that opened up like an employee complaint box at work and people submit anonymous complaints?
But it's only for her to see.
That's iconic. I would love to do
even
that.
Even if it's not going to HR, I feel like it's still a spot for people to air their grievances. Yeah. And that's all you can ask for, really. I'm like, I don't care who's reading. HR doesn't care about it anyway, even if it was a legit complaint box. Like
that would be so funny, though, if you got caught, like, taking the box.
Wait, maybe that's what our advice should become. Like, even if you don't want our advice just like air your grievances with us. Mm-hmm. Well, not about us. Like, keep that to yourself, but if something shitty happens in your week, then we'll have a spot.
There's a... I know you don't watch TV, but there was a new Netflix...
I'm sorry. Oh, please. Correct your sentence. I don't watch real TV.
There was a new show called Too Much with Megan's... Is this Stalter or Salter? I don't know. But that comedian. Okay. And basically she goes through like a messy breakup with her ex-man. And he starts dating new girl who is played by Emily Ratajkowski. Like beautiful model.
That's
and
she's tough.
So
tough.
And basically she's so jealous that she has a TikTok and she like talks to her through her TikTok, but her TikTok is private. And then spoiler alert, so skip 15 seconds if you don't want to know. She like accidentally makes her profile public after like recording herself bashing this girl, and then it like goes everywhere. But
that's a good movie premise. Sorry.
So
what's worse than your ex starting to date Emily Ratajkowski? Can you think of something worse? I can. Like, that's a tough one.
It was just funny because she played her character so, like, as she is in real life. But anyways, yeah, I want to open, we call it advice column or complaint box.
Yeah, we can do two. Or a question would be, do you want us to give you advice? It's like when you're complaining about something with your partner and you know how they say it's like, do you want an ear or do you want a solution?
Right now? Yeah.
Never a solution. Please never give me a solution.
I'm always provide a solution.
Yeah. Let it be known that.
But that's what we're working on.
Exactly. So we'll get to that at the end of the pod. Mm-hmm. But kicking things off with y'all, Justin and Katie.
Yeah, there was so much stuff happening within the last week.
I saw that note and I had no idea who you were talking about.
You thought
about.
I was just someone like two people. I was named like, Justin,
who's
and
Justin
and
Katie?
Katie?
Like at first I was thinking for some reason like Kate Gosling. That's where my brain first went.
No, honey.
But bigger than that.
Justin, Miss ex-prime minister and pop queen Katy Perry spotted in Montreal restaurant having dinner with the little Kiki.
And at her concert the following day.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, do you think Justin Trudeau was just playing Katy Perry to get like floor tickets, VIP tickets to take him and his family to the show?
Well, my thought was his son is trying to get in the music biz, right?
Oh, is he?
Zav?
I don't know, but it's just wild. Xavier? Ever since he's like no longer prime minister, he's such like a social dad. I feel like his Instagram's popping. He's always somewhere with his kids. No, but I occasionally creep him.
Is it creeping if it's a, I use that word as well, but I'm like, is it creeping if it's a public figure?
No, maybe just referencing.
Yeah, just doing some research.
Just keeping, yeah, staying on yeah, top he's, of the
but
prime
even
minister.
When he was prime minister, I feel like he was so, like, remember when he went to BC on a ski trip with his family and then someone, like, shouted something at him? There was, like, a heckler shouted something at him when he was with his family.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, there was what. They were just
so many people heckling.
You know,
him.
Those theylied.ca F. Trudeau. But anywho, that is a crazy couple. Do you ship or no?
I'm just curious, like, why, you know? Like, your because for sure. We thought just Miss Justin Trudeau was running with the LGBT, but does that just, did being going for dinner with Katy Perry reinforce that? Or is he, does he actually have a fling with her?
I think.
Also, like, she's so quick to move. Like, didn't she just get out of her relationship with Orlando?
I think it's been a bit, but they traveled together. I think, remember, he did a photo dump in the summer, and Orlando had a picture of her in his dump when they were broken up. So I think they're, like, I don't know if they're co-parenting. They have a child, right?
Yeah.
But I think she's, conspiracy theory, she's trying to get in and around the political sphere. I think she's gearing up for a political career.
But do you think this is all just PR too?
Like, girl, I don't know what PR is. Like, is it like they just so they're relevant? Like, yeah, just so something like, to it's talk like, about?
Everyone kind of stopped. Like, she had a lot of discussion going around her concert. Like, I don't know if you've seen the videos of her, like, running around the stage.
No, no.
Okay.
I can't stand her. Maybe a hot take. Okay. I can't stand her.
I don't like her either. But she had a lot of, there's a lot of discussion going around her with her concert set. Like, she's touring right now and just, yeah, like, it's the most bizarre thing. Like, she runs on stage in circles, but the way she runs is, like, so odd.
This is news. Breaking news. Katy running around on stage.
Have you ever seen that one thing where it's like, have you ever seen your friends run at full speed? And it's like, just like what it looks like.
Because it never happens. Yeah. You never have to see, as an adult, you never see your friends run.
But, so I guess, like, now that that's dying down, she's like, what can I do now? Maybe I should go out for dinner with Justin Trudeau.
That's facts, because she has been trying to remain relevant, and I just don't think her strategy has been working to date.
Girl went to space, and
who got good press from going to space? Who got good press out of that? I don't think any of them. So she said,
so bizarre.
Now let's go with this political heartthrob. Maybe they're just each other's beards, and in that case, good for them.
Yeah, she's odd. I won't get that one. But yeah, that was Justin and Katy. And I was like, wow. I wonder if that's actually going to become something. Who would you compare, like, Justin in... Oh. I was going to be like, it's like that one couple we knew in high school where that one person was so obviously gay, but that other person dated them. And it was like, is it a social experiment? Or is it love?
Started that rumor and ran with it.
Okay. That's speaking so of, funny. You wanted to talk about something where you've heard something and ran with it. What's
starting
that about?
Rumors. I have, like, it's actually, I think more people suffer with this than they care to admit. But you know when you think, firstly, I think this might be two different things. I don't know if what I've thought was told to me or if it is true or if I just had this thought and then I run with it. So you know what I mean? Like, I feel like someone tells you something and then, or someone hasn't told you something, but you've had a thought and then you start sharing it. And that's how rumors start, right? Yeah. Even though I'm like, oh, I may have just thought of that and no one had told me that, or that may not even be true. I think it's dangerous. And I think people need to check themselves.
I was gonna say,
more.
Do you think you go to therapy for that?
I think I just need to keep my mouth shut. Maybe, like, if I don't know if it's...
if you don't have, like, concrete evidence exactly. to back you, just like, should I, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Exactly. But I know it's when it's happening. Like, I have to, like, I'm like starting to tell a story and I quickly have to say, I don't know if this is true or if this is a rumor. But anywho, we've known for a long time. I'm known to start rumors for that. But at least I check myself.
Yeah. Or you preface
me,
be like,
me I could... justifying my rumor spreading.
But as long as you preface it with, I could be lying.
Yeah.
But...
similar to no offense and then continue to say something really offensive. No, I think that's one. But I also think that's when I hear fun facts. So this is, I guess, in a different vein. But when I hear a fun fact... and I never fact check. I've spoken about this before. I see a TikTok and I just run with it. It's very dangerous, but...
what's one of... you know when you go to an interview and they ask you, like, what's your biggest weakness or something?
Yeah, imagine I was honest. I spread rumors. So I'm going to be honest here. I start rumors. And I don't think that's really good for the workplace. On another note, I was thinking about birth order. Because, you know, that's... I don't know why that's such a common theme.
Birth order.
Birth order.
Okay.
You ever think about birth order? How it affects
Well, I think your probably chemical affects makeup? You more because you're, I think people only think about that if you're like a middle a child. Three? Yeah. Because it's like,
I guess you only have one sibling. Yeah. So do, I don't know what birth order, I don't know anything about birth order. I just know that I am like quintessential
but
youngest.
It's also, but do you think, because you know how there's people that have like astrology signs and they will like, as we previously yeah. discussed, they use the astrology sign to justify their behavior.
Exactly.
Do you think people do the same with birth order? Where it's like, oh my God, that's so middle child of me.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's because I'm a Taurus. excusing poor behavior because of your astrology sign. I don't know. I feel like there's definitely more, is it nurture? Is it nature versus nurture? The birth order would be more nurture than it would be.
Probably.
I don't know. Well, but I think yeah. it makes sense. At least in my case, I feel like I'm not, like I've always been attention seeking. I've always been like, oh, I need to make sure that like I'm the one cracking jokes and stuff. So I don't think that was when I figured out what birth order is. Like I need to fill that role. Like I need to be. So I don't know if it's the same as astrology. But I think about if my parents had another child, or if anything happens, if anything was different,
imagine
how different
your parents
would I be
having another child right now?
Right now would be crazy. Please don't even suggest that. But imagine how different things could be. And does that happen? I guess it doesn't happen if they have another child late in life, because then you still went years as being the youngest.
Yeah. But I also think like if they were to have a child like this later in life, it's like, I don't want to say that child would just be like forgotten about. That's a whole separate life, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know that kid. That's
I'm
not
still
my
the
sibling.
Middle child.
That's my half sibling. Yeah. Just, but I feel like your middle child energy, even though you're only two. Would you agree?
I don't know. Because the whole like concept is like older children, they're more successful, no?
Yeah, I believe.
Which I would still say my brother's more successful than me. But hey, yeah, but
that's objective.
In terms of younger child mentality.
Responsibility and stuff. I feel like eldest is responsible,
like more cautious.
And type A.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they had more rules and such growing up. And then middle, I feel like, is just like
you lost
they're okay
them,
with just floating. Oh, wait, are they? I don't know. I was going to say, are they the ones that are like super driven because they like didn't get that from their, or they're like supposedly more neglected from mm-hmm. their parents. So are they like, okay, I'm going to go do my own thing like career wise? We didn't do enough research ahead of time, but
yeah, but this is my point. It's like, I feel like you could justify any of your behavior by looking at the birth order.
That's facts. However,
I was going to say, we recently, on the topic of that alone, we recently clocked a girly who loves astrology by saying like, oh, I don't like, have you not heard that everyone's astrology signs are different? Like, I forget how they introduced a new sign.
Really?
I don't know why they introduced a new sign. I don't know whether it's because of the calendar year or something, but they have. And then the person was like, no. And then we were looking at what the new signs are according to the new dates.
Yeah.
And then telling someone that they're no longer what they thought they were, and like telling them like, oh, you're no longer a Leo, you're a Pisces. And the like reaction, they're like, no, what, like that can't be, and all that stuff. It's like, sorry that you just like what you thought you were, you're not. But
how does, I'm not one to like, astrology isn't very relevant in my life, so I don't really like understand, but I'm sure it would feel like a little bit of
a
quarter
like
crisis.
Life-threatening.
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not what I grew up thinking.
I know.
So
like, I can no longer use this excuse to, especially
well, just
when you
go to the next
from,
one. Like, I feel like you can read any of the what your week is gonna be, and
but Leo is a particular like very like all about me kind of mentality. And then if you were to be shifted to like, I don't even know what Pisces are.
You just came for the Leos, and I don't know.
It's Leo season right now, I think. but I think Pisces, again, I don't know. They could be like a little more quiet. But imagine being like, oh, it's all about me, I'm the spotlight, and then being like shifted towards something like quiet girl.
That's
little,
true.
Like, compassionate.
Then
like,
I just have to change.
Be, yeah.
I do think it is a fact that, I'm going to butcher this fun fact, but I do believe most presidents are firstborn.
Presidents?
Yeah. I think most of the U.S. presidents, if not all, have been firstborn. Don't fact check me on that.
Do you
think
all presidents come from like brother-brother families? Like, do you think any of the presidents had sisters?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I'm sure they did. We didn't do enough research again beforehand to know.
But
I'm sure
they
did.
Kinda get, Obama, did he have a sister?
He gives nice to women. Yeah.
I recently saw an interview where Obama made or it wasn't an interview. I guess it would have been. But he made a statement about how, like, we have built a society where we're like teaching women to be like strong, independent women. And he was like, obviously that's amazing. But he's like, we also have to teach young men to be more emotionally intelligent. And he was talking about like how young men need to have like either like a gay, lesbian, like non-binary friend, because he's like, it just opens your viewpoints of being more accepting and all that stuff. And I was like, oh my God, that's so interesting. Because he was saying that when he grew up, obviously he sometimes had like, he wasn't exposed to it, so he sometimes had like homophobic remarks, but then it wasn't until university where he had a gay professor, and that really challenged him. And then he was like, it became my favorite professor. And he was like, we need to start moving towards a society where obviously we still uphold and like value strong, independent women, but really push emotionally intelligent men.
And yeah, I'm like, that's, I think that so would true. Probably solve also, a lot of the world's problems. Bring Obama back. Yeah, bring her back. That's fair. I think that's often like, I think it's so funny when you see gender reveals and when men are like disappointed, it's a girl. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's, I don't think, I'm sure some are disappointed, but I don't think disappointment is the right word. It's more so like the pressure. It feels like more of a pressure to raise a young girl. And like, there's more fear like, oh man, I must protect this child, which is absolutely fair. But because that's not the sentiment when raising a young boy, it's so scary. I'm like, why do the expectations change so drastically? I feel like just like treat them well. Yeah. Like they don't, I feel like they don't need to play like hyper masculine sports and like all like just pushing that, like you strong man, like you're the man of the house. Like, I feel like that whole rhetoric is what causes so many of the world's problems. And I'm like, just act chill. You're just a little boy. After all, you're just a little boy and we're just little girls. Like, yeah. So I don't know if that was any sort of, I don't know. I think we could probably change the world if we had a bigger platform, but that's a bigger question. So life ain't fair. We're going to change it though, guys. One.
Also, is Kim Kardashian almost like lawyer?
Girl,
she
I don't know.
She like, I don't know. She took a break on that just as much as we took a break on this podcast.
Exactly. No, she was breaking and she was creating that chin lift. You see her newest, that was the loudest gulp ever.
48 USD to buy one of those.
Just use a sock, brother. Like, put a sock under your chin and wrap it around your head.
But they say it's made with collagen-enriched fibers, which...
Fake.
The dermatologists on TikTok have been duetting all of those and been clocking her and be like, do not waste your money on this.
Absolutely fake. But do you know what's disheartening about more people having podcasts and more opportunity for people to speak? Okay,
that,
us.
That our chances of becoming famous are diluted?
No. My fear is I feel like you like idolize so many people from afar. Like you don't want their reputation to be tarnished by when they talk and or when they start speaking or when they have a platform to speak. And I feel like as soon as some of those people that you like idolize have an opportunity to open up and you just start hating them.
Are you talking about Renee Rapp?
Mine was John Mayer.
Oh, okay.
I love that guy to bits. Bits and pieces. Mwah, 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 mwah. Love me some Bodies in Wonderland. But whenever he's given an opportunity to speak, like I was listening to him on Smartless this week, and he's so painfully condescending, and he thinks he's like this, an intellect. The kids that study philosophy, he's giving those. Uh-huh. Like, everything he asks has so much more meaning than, like, you just got to think deeper. There's a bigger reason we're here. And, like, everything he says, I feel like he thinks packs, like, such a punch.
But don't you think it's interesting that he's, like, BFFs with Andy Cohen?
Yeah, but I feel like Andy Cohen can check him.
Yeah, yeah. Or do you think Andy Cohen is also kind of narcissistic?
I don't know. I feel like I don't ever see Andy Cohen off of a reunion. Like, I don't know him or in, like, the ball drop on New Year's. Like, I don't know if he has, like, another... I never see him in a regular... Like, he's also best friends with Anderson Cooper, who... obsessed with. Mm-hmm. That guy seems lovely. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. The John Mayer one... I can't. And he was asked because he's like a grammar snob. Like, he really cares about using large words and all things we hate. He was asked on Smartless if he corrects people. And he said that he has a rule that if he thinks that it will help them, then he'll correct them.
But if you're narcissistic, you're always going to think that.
Of course.
You can help them. Of course. It's just like...
No, listening
that's
to
That's your justification.
And, like, and him talking about like how he's had so much growth, like growing up and being a rock star. Like he treated people so poorly and like relationships were treated so poorly and blah, blah, blah.
Is he
and
done now with music?
Sorry?
Is he like done with music? Like he's...
I don't know. He hasn't...
He's on a new path. life coach.
Tried stand up for a bit, I think, and he toured with Dave Chappelle. I don't know if he was performing. I don't know what he was doing with him, but I forgot what I was gonna say. I'll just say I hate him. So growing up, loving John Mayer, loving all his music.
Did you listen? Oh, because you were listening to a podcast with him.
Yeah, he was on Smartlist.
Oh, right, you just said that. The reason why I said, "Did you talk? Are you talking about Renee Rapp?" Because she was recently interviewed at Z-Way, and they talked. It was like a whole topic of like cheating and all that stuff. And Renee Rapp basically says that she cheated on her ex-boyfriend with the woman back then, and then she made a comment to say that
my ex walks in with my other ex with her.
No clue what you're referencing right now.
Fake Renee Rapp fan.
But basically they ask her about cheating, and then she's like, it's not cheating if you're discovering yourself. And I was like, that's a take. And she said that on the pod, like in their thing. Yeah. And then ZY, oh, like, can you tell me your logic? And then she like goes on a tangent, and like you cannot understand her whatsoever. And the podcast host literally has to like call her and be like, I'm really struggling to find it. Like, go with your logic. Oh, right now.
Was she trying to like justify what she had said? And she just began to spiral. She wasn't even
trying to like justify it, but she was just trying to
double down.
She basically doubled down and tried to explain further about like why that is the case. And it's like, huh, this perpetuates a lot of issues. Like, to say that, oh, that's not cheating if you're discovering yourself, it's like, okay, so what,
you're just completely ignoring just
everyone
fact.
Admit, or like any cheater just is gonna start calling themselves bisexual because somehow that justifies it. But
yeah, it also just, it still ignores the fact that cheating just destroys the partner. And it's still like, I'm glad you're able to explore yourself and your sexuality, but you have still like tremendously affected your partner's life for the worse. So
the whole thing was like Renee Rapp. It's like there are a few celebrities like this, but like how media training has not impacted them. It's
yeah,
like
they or just they don't say, get it. I yeah. feel like a lot like don't care.
Like, do you think Trump has media training?
No.
Do you think they actually tried to do it though, and he just like it's not registering?
No,
like,
I don't think he would sit. I don't think he'd. Yeah, I don't think he'd sit. Like, I feel like, and he does it. This is my favorite thing ever: is when someone's just an absolute dick and they do it in the name of being honest. That's not how it works. Like, you can be honest and still be nice. Like, he is king. I'm just being honest. So pardon my delivery. Not a pardon. Here's my delivery. But I struggle with that. Also, on John Mayer note, we talk a lot about the pick me behaviors. Most pick me, like, I wish, like, my favorite thing is like growing up and just looking back at high school self. One of my favorites is like a high school breakup. Like, I remember like my high school breakup and then driving like to Caledon, the country, you know, you're going to the back roads and listening to John Mayer and just crying your little heart out. Like, you'd think like,
we've talked about this before where it's like you've gone driving and crying a lot more than
no
like that's your escape.
It's dangerous. I feel like now it's like just dangerous, and yeah, I'm crying about real things now. Just kidding, I'm gonna look back on everything. There's never been a reason to cry. Just gaslighting myself. No, but high school relationships, that's the best thing ever, is like thinking that like your world is over, your high school boyfriend. And I feel like it's so funny because you grow up and your parents or like anyone around you is like, oh my God, it's high school. Like, everything, all your problems are so big when you're in high school. But then as soon as you leave it, you're like size of a grain of rice.
Yeah.
And that is one of them. I'm like peak high school breakups.
But it does have a lasting effect on your like conscious. Like,
do you think so?
We wouldn't be having this conversation right now if it didn't.
That's true, but now it's funny.
High school is just an interesting time.
Should you be allowed to date like, in high school? That's the question.
Yeah, it's not necessarily about asking. You know how they say you must ask like the dad's or the parents' hand in marriage? It's like you should be asking for a hand in dating.
Yeah.
Because
at that age, you should, because you think that like, but you just kind of have to go through it. You got to go through it to understand.
It's just wild how it's like,
it's so much bigger.
We are like literally not the same people we were in high school.
Not even close, then when you meet, hopefully.
But well, that's what I was going to say. It's like, then you have the other side of the coin where it's like people are the exact same way.
That's scary.
And it's like, what? Like, how are you stuck in this limbo?
Yeah.
Like, have you not gone through, like, has life not thrown you any curveballs?
Yeah. 0% growth.
Yeah.
Poor performance review. Speaking of VW... vulnerability warning.
Oh no,
I've coined that this weekend. Not gonna get too vulnerable. VW, not Volkswagen, but vulnerability warning. Why am I piecing to the side? I was thinking, because we're in this, Kyle and I are both feeling this, this can't be life, like the way we're living right now, this can't be for the rest of it. And mostly in terms of our career, nothing else, we're quite happy with everything else. Mm-hmm. But I feel like life feels so short. Like, I feel like we're wasting time with whatever we want to do. Like, every day I'm like, we haven't come up with what we want to do. And then I'm also like,
we're basically a third through a third.
Don't even say that. That's when I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so fleeting and I don't know what we're going to do. But then at the same time, I'm like, there's so much time to make pivots. You know, like people who make like career pivots at like 40. Mm-hmm. Well, kudos to them. That takes so much bravery.
Those were her famous last words.
So what does that mean? What goes from here? I'm not going to make my career pivot and this is going to be it for the rest of it. Like, it can't be.
Yeah.
So it does feel like a scary sense of this is fleeting. You're, but at the same time, it
sounds
time,
like you're having, or we, but it sounds like you're
please
having
be in this mid, with me. Please
midlife
be in
crisis.
This with me. Yeah, it feels like I've been going through that for since I was 12. So I don't know at what point you feel. You're
secure.
I can't help, like, another thing, watching certain things and you get like inspiration for what people do for work, like materialists. I was like, I want to be a matchmaker. Mm-hmm. That looks so easy. I can do it. Mm-hmm. Not easy. That's not fair to the profession, but I feel like there's so much that I watch on TV that I'm like, I could do that. It'd be so much fun. Matchmaking, like real estate, when you watch Selling Sunset, it's all glamorized and it shows like obviously none of like the struggles they go through, like pro golfing. I'm like, if I could practice more, I could probably be a pro golfer. Mm-hmm. Like anytime I watch something on TV,
especially in women's sports.
get her in trouble now. Yeah, so I watch the, I think that also doesn't help me, is this complex I have that I'm like, I'm capable of anything I see on TV. But also, I'm like, there's so many jobs out there that you don't think about when growing up. Like matchmaking. Who knew there was such a...
It's just like so, it's so annoying when you see people. It's like when people are out there and they get interviewed on the streets, like, what do you do for work? And then it's like, they'll say something like that. And they're like dressed like to the like gods and like, yeah, luxury. Like, I'm not saying I want to be dressed luxuriously like these people, but it's, yeah, just like, how are you making so much money off that? Yeah. Or it's like life coaches or like personal trainers.
Life coaches,
like,
are there's, professional scammers.
There's so many jobs out there that I'm like, how are people willing to pay you so much money,
yeah,
for that? It's like, you just have to put that, like, my take is these people just put on such like a big facade and they're like preying on vulnerable populations, yes, where it's like these people are just hurt and like clearly wanting like some advice and are willing to spend money for it. And it's, yeah, like, interesting.
And we're doing all this for free.
Advice column is there if you guys.
We're just going to pivot. We're just going to pivot to career coaches. I truly do believe that a lot of these people just get it from being confident.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah, all we need. Oh. Like, I watch, like, I've been a part of like a couple sales trainings and the trainings are all copy and paste.
God, I feel like I'm working so hard and I'm not.
Exactly.
And I'm not making, exactly, that much money.
No, I think I, beyond like, I don't think like life's luxuries would be nice, but I feel like it's ultimately just like freedom. That's all.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. I don't want to have to report to someone. I don't want to have to clock in and do something I don't care about. I just want to be free to do like what I like doing. Yeah. And that brings us back to our crisis. So watch our crisis unfold live.
Not you and I just putting our own things into the advice column for each other.
Yeah. In case you didn't know, Kai, those few responses were actually me. Speaking of, no,
actually,
we'll get to it.
Talking about like midlife crisis. Are you familiar with the term hypergamy?
No.
So
sweating a lot or something.
So that's hyperhidrosis. But maturing is realizing that like you can get a New York Times subscription for a year for only $20. Guilty. I subscribed because I'm like, I guess I'll feel more like an adult if I have this app on my phone.
What do you use it for? The games, or do you read?
Not even everyone I tell this to thinks I'm out here because of the games. No, I'm trying
She's
to stay
reading.
I'm trying to stay on top of worldly news, and also New York Times recipes are amazing.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So it's I've
when
been
that paywall hits, that sucks.
I've been using that for a bit. But anyways, something I was influenced by my coworker because she was telling me about a story of hypergamy, and then I was like, how did you, like, where did this come from? And she was like, New York Times. I was like, okay, sold. Because I'm like, this would be good for us because then I can teach you things.
Okay.
So basically hypergamy refers to this concept of like upgrading yourself, basically. So the way you're dating and going, like, marrying in life, it's hypergamy because you're trying to upgrade yourself. So every relationship you get into next should be better than the previous one, which we have seen with Jeff Bezos' wife is an example of hypergamy.
What?
What?
You think Lauren is a step up from Mackenzie?
Jeff Bezos' wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's Jeff Bezos' net worth is more than...
Are you talking about he has stepped up or she's...
She has gone through her relationships.
Oh, she's growing
because she's gone through three different marriages. I think this is her third. But each one has been more wealthy than the previous.
Like, okay, I don't love that, though. That doesn't mean it's a better relationship. That
no. But hypergamy is just talking about more so like being lucrative in that sense. So basically this one... I think he was like a record dealer or something, but he's like an old man. He's probably in his 80s. And he's like an old gay man and he's married to this exotic dancer.
Okay.
I think their like age gap is 50 years or so, but he's filing for divorce and they've been dating for quite some time.
The elderly
and
is filing for divorce?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's getting sued against from the exotic dancer because there was like no prenup involved, but when they divorce and they're trying to get the assets, it wasn't actually under his name at all. It was under like his company or something. There was some like back alleyway. So basically he like duked this exotic dancer thinking that like, oh, we won't have a prenup. So the exotic dancer would stay with him. But he was actually playing the guy by making sure his name, like his stuff was under a different name. That way when they did divorce, he wouldn't get anything out of it. And I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Wait, as he should though.
Like the exotic dancer was, and now he's like making the exotic dancer is being like, oh, like I was like a victim of like abuse and all this stuff. And,
oh, it wasn't a good situation. And again,
we're not, but it's like, wow, he played you and you just weren't aware of the game he was playing.
That's fair. I think that often happens, but I also think there's some relationships where you're okay with it in the moment. Like you're okay to get like the gifts and stuff. And then even, cause I think a lot of these people are signing prenups and they're not expected to get a whole lot of money after the fact. But
this one was just unusual because there was no prenup signed.
Yeah.
Which is like, you normally look at these relationships and there is a prenup and all that stuff. Because again, in the moment you're probably getting gifts, but it was just like, wow, you got to think about those things, you know?
Yeah. I love a prenup. Love like, a post-nup.
Huh, interesting. So the New York Times taught me about hypergamy.
Yeah. Okay, that's very interesting. That
another detail of this, they did meet on Seeking Arrangements. So that's how the whole relationship came to be. But
I'm an alma mater.
Seeking Arrangements website doesn't exist anymore.
No way.
Yeah, it's
been replaced by something else. It has something to else. Have.
Yeah. Okay. But even if you go on the new website, because the New York Times had a picture of the website, and it was like the founder of Seeking Arrangements with his wife, who is obviously like a young female.
Ew.
And they're like, there's a whole quote about being like hypergamy. It's and the way they phrase or like frame their whole website is based off hypergamy. But I think it's called arrangements.com or something. It's like you're not
looking for it anymore. It's just an arrangement. That's fair. That's such an interesting website, but that website also like breeds scammers.
Mm-hmm.
And another one that like preys on vulnerable people that are like just going
there's plenty of those websites out there.
Well, on the topic of hypergamy, I don't even know what that word means. I'm never going to use that in a sentence. But I feel like as people grow in the spotlight, you know how their voices so frequently change? The Kardashians are like...
Paris Hilton.
Yeah, they're like very much so. Like as you watch old episodes or if you watching old episodes and as they progress, you'll notice that their voices like get...
They become more
influencer
girl.
And I feel like influencers even, I'd be so curious for the ones that like come up on my feed and they're like, look what I got at my Sephora haul. I'm like, I want to interview their people and be like, did they speak like this before they got on TikTok?
I recently saw someone on TikTok someone clocked them for, they're like in the comment section, they're like, why are you talking like that? And then
it was me on my troll account.
And then she replied and she's like, oh my God, I don't know. Like maybe it's because I'm Canadian living in the UK. So I have a little bit of like Canadian accent with UK like twang to it. I said, no, you're just like purposely talking.
It's the
like
influencer accent. Yeah. It's literally like,
but I was just like, I loved to see her response. I was like, that's how you're justifying how you talk.
Yeah. No, I think it's so painful, but it's also funny. Cause I'm also like, I'll catch myself like trying to talk like nicely. If I do a TikTok, like my Sephora haul, like I'll try to put on a nicer voice. And I'm like, it's just not meant for me. It's mm-hmm. not in my cards. But I was listening to Dakota Johnson on Amy Poehler's podcast the other day. And I'm like, world's nicest voice. like, I'll listen to her in something and I'm like, I need that voice. But it, I don't think you can just change.
You could get surgery.
Really?
Yeah. Like, well, look at
blow through my trach or something.
Well, look at like people that like gender affirming care. They get their voice box operated on to like make their voice more feminine.
Really? Mm-hmm. That sounds like a lot can go wrong, though. That sounds like
you've never seen those, like, I guess you're not on the side of TikTok where people are like day whatever post vocal box surgery. No. And then they like hear themselves and then they're like they like are either
because
like,
you know, chance shock. Like losing your voice or like damaging something like that seems like there's like,
well, obviously there's a risk. There's a risk with any surgery, but yeah. I don't think it's that
I didn't know
that dangerous, but yeah, it's a thing.
Okay, well, I don't think I'll look into it because I don't care that much, but I just whenever
not,
I listen,
not you considering surgery to have more influencer voice for your TikTok.
Yeah, I want the Dakota. I go to the doctor and like, you know how like you choose like your implants and stuff. I'm choosing like a voice memo from Dakota Johnson. Her voice is just so soothing. Same with ScarJo. Best her. That what was that movie she was in where she played like just an AI her. Best like that. I'm like, I'll take that to my doctor.
So
I'll take that to my trach doctor.
Have you ever heard that Scarlett Johansson, not she isn't the it girl, but she has been considered like the it girl previously in like previous years. Okay. She's just like a well-rounded,
she's my it girl.
Yeah, she's a well-rounded celebrity. Like, she's not problematic. She's beautiful. Great voice.
Fantastic husband.
Yeah. So, she's just, like, the girl.
Yeah.
But, obviously, as generations go by, there's new It Girls. And on the topic of Sydney Sweeney...
Oh, my God. On the topic of It
they're
Girls.
Well, that was a conversation topic. Do you think Sydney Sweeney is the new It Girl with her current trajectory?
No. I think she's trying too hard. I think an It Girl can't be... like
a try hard.
Yeah, I feel like it has to be someone who's like effortlessly cool.
Yeah.
And I don't think Sydney Sweeney is effortlessly cool. No, I don't really also like, I don't know her. Like,
are you following I've never the drama? Listened.
Yeah, like I've seen quite a bit on it. Uh-huh. Awful. Well, on that note, why do you want to talk about PDA?
This is another one where it's like, I don't know why I probably wrote this, but just in general, are you...
general, I'm putting out a PSA.
PDA...
PSA on PDA.
PSA on PDA. Are you a PDA person?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Have you ever seen me?
But does that make us bad people?
Because I don't think so. I think there's a spectrum. Not spectrum's not the right word. Maybe it is. Is it the right word?
Yeah, sure.
There's a some stuff can fly, some stuff cannot fly.
I think it's just like PDA. It's like one of those things. Like I'm all about like obviously if you're in love with your partner. And it's interesting because it's like you look at PDA like here versus PDA in like Europe. Like I feel like Europeans are just like so naturally flirty and all that stuff that it seems more normalized while you're there. But because it's not the case here, I feel like when people are doing like really overtly PDA, that's like, okay, read the room kind of deal. Like, you know, when you're at an event, let's say the concert, for instance.
Yeah.
And like maybe a concert is an appropriate place for it because the lights are dark and the music might be vibing and all that stuff. But it's like if people are like right beside me, like making out, it's just like, and it's that's like really intense.
Never acceptable.
It's like, I don't know. I just get so uncomfortable.
Super acceptable.
And it's like
me policing PDA.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just like, I think I saw it recently and that's why I wrote PDA because I was like, I'm not a PDA girly. And yeah.
No, I love when people are like cutesy, like holding hands or holding each other. Like, I think I love that. So cutesy. Kissing and stuff, like real kissing.
And just like holding on.
It just feels so gross.
High school kids love that though. Yeah. That's another, like they love like, to show off that they're in a relationship and.
Yeah. And they're also, it's like their time alone is like, or their time like away from home is like at school. And I'm like, ew, ick. Mm-hmm. Yuck, ick, throw up.
I'm like, oh my God, literally get a room.
That's all I ever think. Like even grown-ups, I'm like, get a room. That's why as soon as they start like kissing for real,
but it's also one of those things where it's like, should they get a room or should I just leave? Like, to be honest.
Silence to re-silence. Now is a good time to dive into our
advice column.
Yes. And let's just introing this advice column. I don't know what business we have giving advice, but I think we have some good thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of good heads on our shoulders. Not me tooting our horn as if we have any.
Not us.
Not just, me with any credentials.
Not us acknowledging our midlife crisis right before.
Yeah. So don't worry about what we shared earlier when we don't have it all figured out. But neither do therapists, right? Like everyone's going to therapy. So therapists are going to therapy. So with that, it's really just more of a place for us to just share our woes. The first one on the docket, we received a couple about work, which know your
which
audience.
I'm kind of happy about in the sense where it's like we can relate to our listeners.
Yeah, but I'm the wrong person to ask about work advice, because if anyone knows my history, it's
if you're not happy,
if I'm not happy, I'm gone. And there's not much of a lesson in that beyond quitting, but I'll try my best here. So first on the docket, someone was looking for advice for not stressing so much about work. What would you have to say to them?
This is hard because it obviously it's dependent on the kind of work you do, you know? Like, are you stressing because you have deadlines? Are you stressing because it's your colleagues? Like, what exactly are you stressing about?
We need a follow-up. So that person who wrote in anonymously,
but that's my point. Let us know. For future contributors to advice column, I need the details, you know? Like, advice columns are all about...
Is it Wendy in the back room that's stressing you out?
It's like, tell me more, and I will tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, that's fair. But just a general stress, I think.
Just
that's...
a general stress...
What's quit. The question again? We're not going to do so well in our advice column when we actually
just like how not to stress. I don't know. Like, I'm on the mentality where I try not to stress at all. I just try not to, because it's like it's gonna
just don't be anxious. Duh.
Yeah. Also, like, don't worry. Like, if you're stressing, you're probably going above and beyond trying to give like 120% with work. And I'm sorry, you're not being paid to give 120%. So give 80 and you'll probably be less stressed. And when you start giving more, hopefully they acknowledge that you're doing more. Probably not, because workplaces love to just use and abuse you.
Exactly.
But all I have to say is, how do I try not to stress at work? Give 80%.
That's Kylie came with the dropping of the mics today. I would agree. I feel like it's especially hard when you're trying to like grow in your career. You're trying to climb the corporate ladder.
But you have to be able to assess the situation and be like, can I even grow here? You know?
100%.
Because it's like, if there's not even an opportunity for you to grow, then stop trying.
Why are you trying?
Like, that's... leave. Go find a job.
Or if you don't care to grow. Like, I think if you're...
I don't really care to grow.
Grow out of here. That's the only thing I'm
But like, again, you have to be kind of self-aware of how much you're giving, how much they want from you or deserve from you, I should say.
Yeah.
And... if those things don't align, then leave.
No, I agree. I think
you have to look at it like a relationship.
I think that's hard for us to give advice on, especially me, because in that moment, when you notice you're putting in too much effort and you're not getting, in fact, you're often like penalized for putting in more work or being better than your coworkers because you're given a bigger workload. And to be punished for doing good work is just a crazy thought to me. So then I'm just like out of here. Like, if you're not going to recognize my accomplishments, but I think that's hard to do in this.
It's also hard though, because you have to look at how long have I been in the job for. Have I been in the job at the beginning and it's like I can already tell it's going to be bad and it's just the beginning? Definitely leave. Like, it's not going to get better if you're already feeling this way so early in. But then it's like, has it been a few years and I'm with the company? Yeah, every more reason to leave, because if you've been with them so long and nothing's happened, why are you still there?
Yeah.
Whereas like this really becomes more difficult when you're like the in-between phase where it's like, oh, like you're holding on to hope kind of deal.
Yeah.
But it's like you just have to be courageous in the sense where it'd be like, leave if you're not happy.
Yeah.
I know it can be scary.
That's fair. Well, especially in this job market when it is a little bit more difficult to get a job. Just proceed with caution. I think I've learned in recent months, probably, this hasn't been years yet, but like wanting a job just to be a job, I think there's been this like hyper fixation on, and roll the tapes back 20 minutes to like, I want to do something that like we enjoy doing.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case. So just understanding that it's just a job, like don't let it consume any more of you than your 9 to 5 or whatever your shift is. I think looking for a job that you can just clock in, clock out of is honestly ideal, if there's enough time after clocking out. Like, if you're putting in,
like, your work-life balance is important.
Exactly. So don't stress if you don't have work-life balance. Get out of there.
Yeah.
On a similar vein, dealing with a new manager who pisses me off with the middle finger emoji. Iconic.
Tell me how you really feel.
Iconic.
I just really want to know who these people are that are putting these submissions in, because I know.
We can't.
Do you want to start us off on this one?
That's enough. My advice to you, leave.
Yeah.
Or do better than them. Like, I think toxic. Well,
the way
me,
you do it, though, because again, you have like Teams and all, or what do you use?
Slack.
And
don't
it's
get
like,
it twisted.
You,
Teams.
You just kiki with your other colleagues when managers are pissing you off. Because...
Yeah, just start a separate group chat. Yeah, exactly. No, I think it's painful when they have so much control over you. Like, I've been at places before where, and you were beside me that one time I called the CEO because my manager was irritating me so much.
Oh my God. You were so scared to have that conversation.
Yeah. Well, who wouldn't be? I called the house phone because it wasn't working. I had to call my CEO on their house phone. But I think if, like, I
forgot about that.
I had to skip a level because I was like, this person does not have my back. They're not going to help me grow here because they're out to get me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go above them and go to their CEO. Duh, the CEO has more loyalty to my manager. They've been there longer and they have like a stronger relationship. So that was emotionally driven.
Yes.
I was like, I'm going to call and speak to my CEO. And that wasn't a good place. So
remember they
recommend.
Just like didn't agree with you?
No, he was in fact fighting me. It was like, I called you to air my grievances and now you're yelling at me.
Do you want
to
tell the listeners? Because the whole, was it about like working on the holidays or it's like if you want to like...
No, don't even come out for me why. So the reason why I had to have this conversation and why I was so livid, and again, early in my career, I've since learned, but it was, I wanted to go away with my friend. Our friend was leaving. They were moving abroad and there was one opportunity for us to go to the boat together. And right before she was leaving, and I called I asked my manager for the time off and she said no. And I was like, that's really weird. Like, it's literally one day. Anywho, so my manager could have very well stepped in for me for the day. I also had a coworker who could have done the same. Like, there was no reason for me to be denied my one vacation day. It was only because we were beefing at the time. And I think that's like a good manager. If they can't put the beef aside, firstly, why was she beefing me? I don't even know. But we didn't have a good relationship. So she denied my vacation day. And it had been, that was the catalyst because I was so frustrated at that point. So there was a few things leading up to that. It wasn't only the vacation day, but that's when I called the CEO and I was like, I am working. I bring my computer to the bathroom. Like, this is getting out of control. Yeah. Like, no one has my back here. No one's going to step in for me. Why am I bringing my computer to the bathroom? And yeah, the CEO told me that there's Christmases that he works. And I said, wah. Oh my gosh. So anywho, that was kind of a derailed story, but I also quit that job just shy of a week later.
So how do you deal with a manager that pisses you off? Do not call them.
just go above them. Don't do that either, because then they're really not going to like
But you know how like in an interview, they always ask you like conflict resolution, like how do you deal with someone that's pissing you off? And then it's usually the ideal answer is like have a one-on-one conversation with them.
Yeah.
And then if things don't get resolved, go to like their manager. Just went straight.
I just went straight. I'm like, I'm not dealing with this. I'm not dealing with this toxicity. I think it's hard. I think having a conversation, I've had some really good conversations
with managers.
And yeah. And it's harder, like, especially in startups, because you work so closely with like leadership, which is kind of rare. But when you go into those conversations intimidated, I found it's really helpful to like write out, like I've sent emails beforehand and just said like, these are the points I want to make sure we connect on like during this call. So because you get on those calls and you just like go blank because you are so nervous. So I think being able to, one, never make any rash decisions like going above them and going to the manager or their manager, but having a conversation with them and just being like, I don't think I can produce my best work when these are the things I'm facing.
Use a lot of I statements, not you statements.
No, you actually suck and it's resulting in really poor...
it's like in relationships when you want to have a conversation partner, be like, don't use I or you.
It's we.
Because, yeah.
It's always we.
Or like I. Yeah, I think another thing too is like you need to just learn to be uncomfortable with the whole like...
Feedback
situation, but also like just initiating the conversation. Like, obviously it's going to be frightening because you're like, well, if I voice a complaint, am I going to be treated like even more shit?
Yeah.
Or am I going to be fired after this conversation?
Yeah.
But it's like just going in and being okay with being a little bit uncomfortable to have the conversation. So, because that's, I think you just have to realize you don't really actually owe these people anything.
Exactly.
You know? And I feel like everyone's just too scared to say something and then they feel like they need to keep giving it their all, but it's like, no, you don't. But easier said than done, I guess.
Yeah, I think so long as you so long as you approach the conversation with like, I don't think this is helping our team. Like, I don't think I'm able to do my best work. I feel like that could lead to a productive conversation. But when it's simply like the case that I had where like the manager just didn't like me, there's really like, what can you do? Like there was no,
yeah,
there was no solution there for me but to leave. Cause every, it was like a click. Like they were
also, if you're like, feel like you're doing so much and your manager's doing nothing at all, like that could be annoying,
that's so painful.
You know, because it's like, I'm giving up my all and you're doing nothing and you're still treating me like shit. Like that would, I think I would just be like, you're the reason I have to leave.
That's sometimes when it may make sense to go for a one-on-one with their manager. But like, that's probably never wise. Because their
management's annoying, gonna... especially when there's the loyalty.
Yeah, and, it's like and they like meet way more than you do. Yeah, like,
it's
they,
like, oh, you guys are all friends with each other. So it's like, I can't get in, you know?
So just leave and start your own company. That's really all you can do. But I am sorry to the person dealing with that because that's actually the worst thing.
I really hope whoever's putting these in listen to our advice and then they come back to the advice column
and tell us how the conversation went. If it was a conversation similar to mine with the CEO, I apologize that I ever I never suggest a conversation with the CEO. It doesn't go well. And then this one, which we'll end on, was funny to me because I just want to know who doesn't like us. Who doesn't like us? No, I'm just kidding. Do appreciate all the honesty here. But the question that we got was, how do you deal with outgrowing friendships in your 20s?
Don't take it personally.
That's a VW. Get a VW here. Get a VW here. Vulnerability warning. And Kylie says,
I was just saying, outgrowing your relationships or like old friendships in your 20s is, unless you are going to, or unless you need to, try not to take it personally. I feel like if there's any distance with you and like old friends, for whatever the reason may be, it's just like, if you're not friends anymore, it's not that it's like malicious by any means, but it's like, yeah, you are on your own path and I'm on my own path. And I don't want to be like, I feel like I feel this same thing, like this like advice where it's like, there's definitely friends from high school that I'm no longer close with.
You just hang out of obligation.
And like, yeah, I see like, obviously like so many of our other friends hang out with each other, but it's like, oh, I'm not there, but I'm also like not mad about it, yeah, you know? And that's okay. It's just like, they're doing their own thing. I'm doing my own thing.
But what if it's only one-sided? I feel like that's,
well, that's the thing. So. It's like, I hope we're both on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
But also like, I feel like it's better in the sense where it's like, assume you're just both on the same page.
Because ignorance is bliss, baby.
Because it's just like, if you think that it's not, you're just going to be playing mind games with yourself that like they don't like you or they're being rude with you. And then it's like, if you have to even think about these things, like maybe one, acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And then if they're still treating this way, it's like, okay. Remember how I've said this before. It's like, I have a 5-person beef limit. Like if it's not just me having a problem with you, then you're the issue, not me.
But I don't think it's as much. If you're friends with people who have like, are problematic at this, like I feel like that's true.
Well, that's it. Like, cut just, them out.
Just get
sorry.
Out of here. But for people who are just like, they still want to keep a friendship, and you're kind of like
they're actively trying. Like, yeah. Oh, like
okay. I feel like I've outgrown that. Like, how would you tackle that? I feel like a conversation is probably needed. I'm conflict averse. I'm like, sure, we'll keep hanging, but that's not even necessarily true. I feel like it's too hard to make time for people where you don't feel like you're on the same wavelength or you don't care about the same things. It's also really hard to ignore like things people care about as we get older. Like if people like, I don't know.
Well, maybe. I think it's harder. It's like just when like as you get older and you make new friendships and like you come to not necessarily value those friendships more, but it's just like they are in my life a lot more.
And yeah, and there's more similar values and stuff.
And also like when you get older, your values change, you know? Exactly. It's like we were only friends before because like proximity.
Yeah.
It's like now things are different. And it's like, I'm not saying your values are wrong by any means, but it's just like, if you are distancing yourself because of values, you need to have the conversation and be like, hey, I just don't think our values align.
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like if it's truly a values thing, it's actually easier for you.
Because it feels like there's because more concrete like, reasoning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas when it just feels like, oh, or it just feels like there's something.
Like a personality like, or something that doesn't like
vibe
or
mesh. Yeah, we just don't jive. Yeah. You know, is jive a word? I don't know. So. We just can't hang. I feel like that's when you both just hope things fizzle. I am pro fizzle.
I'm pro fizzle too.
That's probably not good advice. Because
if it fizzles long enough, it goes flat.
Exactly. We love a flat fizzle, fizzle to flat.
And then you just, when you see them at another function, you just like resume, like you're civil with one another.
Yeah,
it's not like, you don't have to be like awkward, be like, oh my God, just like pretend nothing happened.
Exactly.
But don't even pretend, just like be kind to one another.
Yeah, but you don't need to feel like obligated. Yeah. I think when friendships feel like obligation,
that's,
you just let it fizzle. Just let it. Whereas when it feels just like fun and easy, let that flourish.
Mm-hmm.
So don't know if that was any helpful advice. And to the person who doesn't want to be friends with us anymore, come forward.
Yep, please.
We don't mind. We won't take offense. But I think that's it for this week.
I love that. I think that was a good...
That felt like really more honest than we've ever been.
A lot of VW. Didn't love that.
What?
I said a lot of VW here.
Yeah. I love how I just said what. That was what? That means our friendship is going to fizzle after the end of this episode. But I felt like we are... now getting to a point where we're more honest with our listeners about our crises.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a word? I don't know. Look it up. Thank you for tuning in. We're excited to keep this up. Please give us more advice. Or no, don't give us advice. We're not accepting of advice. But look for more advice. We'll give it to you. And we look forward to changing the world.
Next week.
Oh. One episode at a time.
Not you being like big scale changing the world.
We're changing the world.
I'm like chatty next week. Bye.
Tune in next week. Bye.
Bye.